بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today, this is our session number 27, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 3, and Level 3, first half of Book 3. Dr. Fa Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. So today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at a new lesson, lesson number 12. And this lesson is quite involved. It contains some very, very important information. Some of it is a little bit detailed, so we're not going to rush through it. Today, inshallah, we're going to try to cover that which was given to you for homework, the English key, points 1, 2, and 3 on page 48 to 51. Then we're going to read the Arabic text, the dialogue, at the beginning of the lesson on page 96 and 97. And then we're going to look at the answers that you gave to the comprehension questions right after the dialogue on the same page 97. There are five questions. We're going to look at those questions related to the comprehension of the dialogue. And then we're going to read and translate the Arabic explanation of what we read in the English key. And the Arabic explanation is two pages, 98 and 99. And that, inshallah, should be sufficient for us today. And then next week, inshallah, we'll have a chance to go back over both the English key and the Arabic explanation of the points of this lesson. Once we go through the English key, it's not necessary to go through it again. Yani for homework next week, inshallah, you can just review the Arabic explanation. That will be sufficient. Unless something is not clear, then you can always refer back to the English key. But next week, inshallah, we'll be going back to review the Arabic explanation of the grammatical points for this lesson, and then we'll be looking at the exercises that follow. So, basically, there are really three points that this lesson deals with. The first point is the maf'ulun fi, dharf al-zaman and makan. The second point is the particle lau, yani harf imtina limtina. And the third point is in reference to the dharf qabla and ba'da, that even though they are mu'rab, but sometimes there's a certain condition in which they could be mabniyun ala dhamma. So that's the third point of this lesson. That's what we'll be looking at. All of that we'll be looking at today. Of course, the first point is the main point. Second point is also very, very important. And the third point is like a subsidiary of the first point. Okay, so inshallah we'll be looking at that in some detail today, both from the English key and then the Arabic explanation of these points. Alright, so let's start with the English key on page 48. At the top of the page, for lesson number 12, it says, the number one, the dharf, al-dharf, or the maf'ul, al-maf'ulu fihi. The dharf or al-maf'ulu fihi. So what we're going to be studying today in this first point is what is known as al-dharf. Or it may be known as al-maf'ulu fihi. So al-maf'ulu fihi is divided into two parts. And that's where the word dharf comes in, because there's dharf al-zaman and dharf al-makan. And dharf is generally translated as an adverb. So it's an adverb of time and an adverb of place. Both of them come under the general title of al-maf'ulu fihi. Previously we had maf'ul bihi, yani the object of the verb, of the action of the verb. Here maf'ulun fihi is the time or the place in which the action of the verb occurred. Okay, maf'ulun bihi means that thing that the verb, the action of the verb fell upon. Maf'ulun fihi means the action of the verb happened in this time or in this place. In this time, dharf al-zaman. In this place, dharf al-makan. We're also going to be mentioning that the dharf is originally mansub, but there are some adverbs that are mabniyun. And we'll be looking at that in some detail. And then we'll be looking at the fact that there are some words which function as a dharf. Some words that are not originally a word indicating time or place. Dharf is zaman or makan. But because of the relationship with the dharf, they function in place of the dharf. They represent the dharf and take on the ruling of the dharf. There are four types of words that we're going to be talking about here. Okay? And then we'll go to the second point, the particle lao, and then we'll go to the third point, qabla and ba'd, and when they are mabniyun. But the first point that we want to look at is the dharf, two types of dharf. Okay, we're going to divide this first point, the dharf or maf'ulun fi, into 6 points. Okay, I'm gonna refer to them as A, B, C, D, E, and F. Okay, so A is gonna be dharf al-zaman, and B is gonna be dharf al-makan, and C is gonna be the ruling, the i'rab of the dharf, that it's mansub, and D is gonna be that there are some adverbs, some dhuruf, that are mabniyun, that are mabniyun. Could be mabniyun on fatha, kasr, dhamma, or sukoon. And then we're going to look at the fact that E is going to be that those words, the four types of words that function in the place of or represent the dharf, and therefore take on the ruling of the dharf, and therefore they are mansub with fatha. And the last thing we're going to look at, F, is the word kam. It acts like some of those words that take the place of the dharf when it represents a word that indicates time or place. If kam is asking about how many of something that is a time or place word, then kam also may function as a dharf. So those are the 6 points that we're going to look at right now. Okay, so let's start with, again, page 48, top of the page, number 1, al-dharf or al-maf'ulu fihi. The dharf is a noun. Okay, we know that the parts of speech in Arabic are 3. There's the noun, there's the verb, and there's the particle. So dharf is a noun which denotes the time or place of an action. It denotes the time that the action occurred or the place where it occurred. For example, A. Okay, A, we're looking at the adverb of time. We're going to have examples here of dharf az-zaman, the adverb of time. Yani adverbs that indicate the time in which an action took place. Okay, first example. I don't know which way we should read here. I guess I'll read after A. Kharajtu laylan means I went out at night. So the action of going out, when did it happen? It happened in the time of night. So this is why this is a dharf az-zaman, adverb of time. I went out at night. The second example. Sa'usafiru ghadan insha'Allah. I shall travel tomorrow if Allah wills. Sa'usafiru ghadan. The action of traveling, when will it occur? Ghadan, tomorrow. So this is why ghadan is a dharf az-zaman, adverb of time, the time in which the action took place of traveling. The third example, nimtu ba'da nawmika. I slept after you slept. Yani after your sleeping. Here, ba'da is indicating the time of the action of sleeping. When did it happen? It happened in the time after you slept. Okay? So these are examples of, this is called dharf az-zaman. That is, adverb of time. Yani words that denote the time in which the action of the verb took place. Okay, B, we have, these are going to be examples of dharf al-makan, the adverb of place. Yani words that indicate the place in which the action occurred. So the first example they gave us, mashaytu milan. I walked a mile, the distance of 1 mile. Yani the place that I walked is along this distance of 1 mile. Mashaytu milan. So in this sentence, milan tells us the place. This 1 mile strip, yani, is the place where the action of walking took place. Next example. Jalastu indal mudiri. I sat at the headmaster's. Yani I sat in the presence of the principal in his office. Inda المديري. So the action of sitting, where did it take place? In the presence of the مدير, the headmaster or the principal. So عند here is the adverb of place. It indicates the place where the action took place. عند المديري. The third example, نمت تحت شجرة. I slept under a tree. Here, تحت indicates the place where the action of sleeping occurred. Where did it occur? Underneath a tree. So, تحت here is the adverb of place or ظرف المكان. These are examples of what is called ظرف المكان. That is adverb of place. Okay, so that's the second of 6 points that we want to say about the مفعول في or ظرف. That the مفعول في is divided into two types. One of them is the adverb of time, ظرف الزمان. And the other one is adverb of place, ظرف المكان. The next point, C, is that is very brief. الظرف is منسوب. الظرف is منسوب. يعني the ظرف, the adverb of place and time, its original ruling, its إعراب, is that it's منسوب. Point D is that some ظروف are مبني. يعني the original ruling is that the ظرف, all of them, are معربون. يعني they are معرب, and the إعراب is that they are منسوب. However, there are some adverbs of place and some adverbs of time which are not معرب, which do not change from being منسوب to مرفوع to مجرور. They are يعني مبنيون. Some of them are مبنيون. They are fixed. Their ending is fixed with fatha or kasra or dhamma or sukoon. And we're going to see examples of some adverbs of place and some adverbs of time which are mabniyun. Some of them are mabniyun, fixed on kasra all the time. Some of them are mabniyun on dhamma, fixed on dhamma all the time. Some of them are mabniyun on sukoon, always ends with sukoon, and some of them are mabniyun on fatha. Yani they don't change from ending with fatha or kasra or dhamma or sukoon, even if there's a preposition before them or whatever, doesn't change because they are mabniyun. Okay, so the ظرف, its original rule is that it's mansub, but some of them, that it's mu'rab and it's mansub. However, some of them are fixed on fatha, kasra, dhamma or sukoon. We say they are mabniyun. So some ظروف are mabniyun. Here are some, yani which are mabniyun. Aina, which ends with fatha, it's mabniyun ala fatha, means where. Amsi, yesterday, which ends with kasra, it's fixed, mabniyun ala kasra. Haythu, which means wherever, haythu is mabniyun ala dhamma. Anqattu, which means yani which is emphasizing the negation of the past tense verb. Qattu, which ends with dhamma, meaning it's mabniyun ala dhamma, it's fixed on dhamma all the time. And then there's huna and mata. Huna, here, and mata, when, which end with sukoon. Yani mabniyun ala sukoon. So we can see here that there are some aina mabniyun ala fatha, amsi mabniyun ala kasra, haythu and qattu mabniyun ala dhamma, and huna and mata mabniyun ala sukoon. Aina, where, is a dharf. Just reminding us here, this is not actually written in the text here, but aina is a dharf of makan, indicating place, where. Amsi is a dharf of zaman, indicating time, yesterday. Haytho is a dharf of makan, wherever, yani indicating place. And qattu is a dharf of zaman, yani emphasizing the negation of the past tense verb, time. Huna is dharf al-makan, mabniyun ala sukoon. And mata is dharf, yani huna means here, mata means when, is dharf al-zaman, mabniyun ala sukoon. Okay, so again, the original rule is that the dharf is mu'rab, and its i'rab is that it's mansub in the accusative case. However, some of the adverbs, as we have just seen examples, some of them are mabniyun. Their ending is fixed. It always remains as dhamma or kasra or sukoon or fatha. Okay, and then they give us some of these examples that they just gave us. They gave us them in sentences. All right. So let's look at the first one is mata. We're still on page 48, halfway down the page. Mata. Mata kharajta. When did you go out? So here mata is what? Dharf al-zaman mabniun ala sukoon. The next one, aina. Aina tadrusu. Where do you study? Yani this is a dharf al-makan. It's talking about a place. Where do you study? Mabniun ala fatha. The next one is amsi. Lam aghib amsi. I was not absent yesterday. Lam aghib. I was not absent amsi. Amsi is dharf. Yesterday. Dharf al-zaman. Mabniun ala kasra. It always ends with kasra. And then we have qattu, which is a dharf al-zaman. Mabniun ala dhamma. The example they gave us. Lam adhuk. Hadihi al-fakihata qattu. Lam adhuk. I never tasted. Yani literally, lam adhuk means I didn't taste. I did not taste. هذه الفاكهة يعني this fruit. But when we add قط, we emphasize the negation of the past tense meaning in لم أذوك. I did not taste. I did not ever taste. Or I never tasted هذه الفاكهة, this fruit. Then we have هنا. And the example they gave us is اجلس هنا. Sit here. So here is a dharf al-makan, indicating the place where the sitting occurs. And finally we have haythu, which is a dharf al-makan. As we see in this example, ijlis haythu shitta. Sit wherever you like. Sit where you like. And haythu is, the meaning of it is where or wherever. So the action of sitting takes place somewhere, wherever you like. This is dharf al-makan, مبنيون على ضمة. So these are examples of ظروف, يعني adverbs of place and time, which are مبنيون, مبنيون on فتح or كسر or ضمة or سكون. Here are examples of the إعراب of مبني ظروف, يعني adverbs that are مبنيون. Here are examples of their إعراب, how to explain the grammatical functioning of this type of word that's مبنيون. Okay, because the ظرف originally is منسوب. So when we do the إعراب, we say it's منسوب with فتح. However, if it is from the adverbs that are مبنيون, then the way to explain the إعراب is slightly different. Because remember, words that are مبنيون, we don't say they are منسوب, we say they are what? في محل نصب, in the place where they should be منسوب. If it was a word that was supposed to be marfoon, we say, يعني it's مبنيون في محل رف, in the place where it should be marfoon. If it's a word that's in the place where it should be مجرور, we say it's مبنيون في محل جر, in the place where it should be مجرور. That's what we say about words that are مبنيون. And we've seen that before, so this is not completely new. Here are examples of إعراب of مبني ظروف. In this sentence, لم أغيب أمسي, the word أمسي is ظرف الزمان. Yesterday, I was not absent yesterday. It is مبنيون, ending with كسرة, يعني مبنيون على كسرة, and is in the place of نصب, في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منسوب. So how do we إعراب لم أغيب أمسي, the word أمس? We say that it is ظرف الزمان, مبنيون على كسرة, في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منسوب. Turn to page, in the sentence, I mean turn the page to page 49. In the sentence, أين تدرس, what are the examples that they gave us? In the sentence, أين تدرس, where are you studying? The word أين is ظرف مكان. It is مبنيون, ending in فتحة. and is in the place of nasb, yani in the place where it should be mansub. So the i'rab of the word aina in this sentence, we say it is dharf al-makan mabniyun ala fatha fi mahalli nasbin, fixed on fatha in the place where it should be mansub. And we'll see the i'rab of more of these sentences in the Arabic explanation. The next point, E, yani the fifth point related to maf'ulun fi, is that there are words which function as dhuruf, yani words that substitute for, that represent or take the place of the dharf. Naib an dharf, a word that takes its place, that substitutes for it, that represents the dharf, even though that word is not originally an adverb of place or time. It's not originally a word that represents the meaning of place or time. But because of its relationship with the dharf, then it's going to represent the dharf or take its place, and therefore it will take the ruling of a dharf, and we'll say that it's mansub, and the sign of it being mansub is fatha, and so on. So there are four types of words like this, and they are listed here as A, B, C, and D. So let's read from the top of page 49, words which function as dhuruf. A word may represent a dharf, and so, as such, it may take the nasb ending, even though originally it is not a word denoting time or place. Even though it's not originally a dharf al-zaman, or dharf al-makan, but it will take on the i'rab of being mansub, and it will take the ending of the nasb ending that indicates it is mansub. And this is due to its relationship with the dharf. So this type of word that will represent a dharf and take the nasb ending, even though it originally is not a word denoting time or place, there are four cases. It happens with the following types of words. The first one, A, are words like kull and ba'd and nisf and ruba', yani kullu, all of it, ba'du, some of it, nisfu, half of it, rub'u, a quarter of it. This type of word, yani that indicates the whole of the time, or the whole of the place, or part of the time, or part of the place. These kind of words that represent the whole or the part of time or place words, when they have place or time words as their mudaf ilayhi, when this type of word is connected to a time or place word, an adverb of time or place, this word that indicates part of that time, or all of that time, or the whole of it, or that place, yani it now represents the dharf, and therefore becomes mansub with fatha. Okay, the dharf is mudaf ilayhi majroor. And now the word that is its mudaf, the kullu or ba'du or nisfu or rubu, yani it becomes, yani it takes the place of the dharf, takes on the ruling of the dharf, and it becomes mansub with fatha. Again, words like kullu, ba'du, nisfu, rubu, when they have place or time words as their mudaf ilayhi, as the word that's connected to it in idafa. And then they give us some examples. Alhamdulillah. Okay, they give us some examples. The first example is Safarna kulla an-nahari. Safarna kulla an-nahari, meaning we traveled the whole day. Yani the whole day we traveled, all of it. So here the word kulla, indicating the whole of the time of an-nahar. An-nahar meaning the daytime, the whole of the daytime. Safarna kulla an-nahar. So because kulla has as its mudaf ilayhi an-nahar, which is a noun of time, yani an adverb of time, dharf az-zaman, so kulla now takes on its place. It represents that dharf, and it takes its ruling of being mansub. The second example is baqitu fil mustashfa بعد يوم. I remained in the hospital for part of the day. بعد here has as its مضاف إليه يوم, which is an adverb of time. But here the adverb of time is مضاف إليه مجرور. So بعد takes on its place, takes substitutes for it, represents it, takes its ruling of being mansub, and therefore takes fatha. بعد يوم. The third example. انتظرتك ربع ساعة. I waited for you for 15 minutes. For ربع ساعة, a quarter of an hour. I waited for you for 15 minutes. The word ربع has as its مضاف إليه ساعة, which is an adverb of time. But here it is مضاف إليه مجرور. So ربع, يعني the word that indicates a part or the whole of place or time words, يعني takes on the position of the adverb. So it became يعني the إعراب, it became منسوب. يعني it's representing a word that denotes time or place, so therefore it takes on the ruling of being mansub with fatha. Ruba sa'atin. And the last example they gave us, mashaytu nisfa kilometrin. I walked half a kilometer. Mashaytu nisfa kilometrin. Kilometrin is the word that represents makan, yani a distance of 1 kilometer. But here, nisf is connected to it in idafa. So kilometrin became mudafan ilayhi majrur, and nisf now represents the dharf, and so it takes on the nasb ending of fatha, even though originally nisf is not a noun of place or time. Alright, so each of these give us an example of a word that represents the whole or a part of a noun of place or time. The first three are adverbs of time, and the last one is an adverb of place. But what is common to all of them is that these words, يعني كل and بعد and ربع and نصف, that these words, none of them are originally adverbs of place or time. But because they have as their مضاف إليه an adverb of place or time, so they take on or represent the adverb and take on its ruling of being منسوب with فتح. Okay, the explanation of these examples that they gave us follows. In these sentences, the words يعني كل, كل, بعض, ربع, and نصف are منسوب because they function as ظروف. But the actual words denoting time or place are their مضاف إليه. يعني because their مضاف إليه is a ظرف of زمان or مكان, then these words كل and بعض and نصف and ربع now represent that ظرف and take on its ruling of being mansub, which is indicated by the fatha. Okay, so this is the first type of word. Four types of words that function as dhuruf. The first one is a word that indicates part or the whole of something, of time or place word, and that time or place word is its mudaf ilayhi. The second type of word is the adjective of a dharf after the dharf is omitted. The adjective of a dharf after, if the dharf is omitted, is deleted, then the adjective that's describing that dharf remains in its place and takes on the ruling of a dharf, and therefore became mansub with fatha. So for example, excuse me, an example of this is jalastu tawilan. The original sentence is jalastu waqtan طويلًا. I sat for a long time. In the first sentence, جلست طويلًا, طويلًا is منسوب because it functions as a ظرف. يعني the original sentence, جلست وقتًا طويلًا, يعني وقتًا is the ظرف of time. But if it was deleted, then it's adjective. طويلاً يعني وقتاً طويلاً long time. طويلاً is an adjective for وقتاً. So when the ظرف of زمان is removed, then its adjective طويلاً takes its place and takes on its ruling, and we say that it is يعني نائب, substituting, representing ظرف الزمان منسوب علامة نصبه فتح. Another example of this, even though it's not mentioned here, but similar example, just to give another example, is نمت قليلاً. نمت قليلاً. I slept a little. The original sentence would be نمت وقتاً قليلاً. I slept for a little while. But when وقتاً is removed, then its adjective قليلاً takes its place, and we say it is نائب يعني ينوب. It takes the place of the ظرف الزمان, and therefore it's منسوب الفتح. Okay, the third type of word is a demonstrative pronoun, C. A demonstrative pronoun whose بدل is a word denoting time or place. Okay, a demonstrative pronoun which has a word with alif lam following it, that word with alif lam after the demonstrative pronoun is generally the بدل. And if the بدل is an adverb of time or place, then the demonstrative pronoun represents it, takes its ruling, and we say that يعني because demonstrative pronouns يعني اسم إشارة, they are all مبنيون. We say it is مبنيون في محل نصب because the إعراب of the word that is connected to it is بدل. The إعراب of that word is going to be بدل. So the ism ishara now takes the place of the ظرف and takes on its ruling. Okay, so the third case is the demonstrative pronoun, يعني هذا أو هذه أو ذلك أو تلك أو هؤلاء أو أولئك. Demonstrative pronoun whose بدل is a word denoting time or place. Its بدل is a word that denotes يعني an adverb of time or an adverb of place. For example, جئت هذا الأسبوع. I came this week. Here هذا is an اسم إشارة. It's مبني. So we say it's مبني in the place of نصب. في محل نصب. Why is it في محل نصب? Because here it is substituting for the word الأسبوع, which is adverb of time. يعني ظرف الزمان. But here it is the بدل. So هذا is substituting in its place, and therefore we say هذا is يعني acting as an adverb of time, but it's an اسم إشارة, so it's مبنيون. We say it's مبنيون في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منسوب. Just one more example of this that's not mentioned here, but the same type of thing. You said, for example, سافرت ذلك اليوم. I traveled that day. سافرت ذلك اليوم. So اليوم is the original word that's مفعول, that is ظرف الزمان, but because here it is a بدل for ذلك, so ذلك represents it, takes its place, يعني is the نائب for the ظرف, يعني substituting for the ظرف. But again, the أسماء الإشارة, they are all مبنيون, so we say ذلك is the اسم إشارة مبنيون في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منسوب, as representing the ظرف. The third or the fourth type of word of four, the fourth type are numbers representing time or place words. Numbers that represent time or place words. So these are numbers that will have an adverb of time or an adverb of place connected to it as its مضاف إليه, or as its تمييز, or whatever. يعني the number يعني that represents an adverb of time or place يعني becomes the نائب, the substitute, or the representative of that time or place word, because that time or place word coming after the number يعني being its معدود is going to either be مضاف إليه مجرور, or it's going to be its تمييز منسوب, and so on. But in any case, the إعراب of the time or place word is changed because it's connected to that number. The number then substitutes for it, takes its place, and takes its ruling of yani representing the adverb, therefore it became mansub, and the sign of it being mansub being fatah. Okay, let's look at some examples. They gave here one example, and we'll see more examples in the Arabic explanation. Makaftu fi Baghdad arba'ata ayyamin. Yani I stayed, or I remained in Baghdad for 4 days. Makaftu fi Baghdad arba'ata ayyamin. So ayyamin is the original, dharf az-zaman, and arba'atu is a number representing that yani time or place word. In this case, the time word. Arba'ata is mansub with fatah because it's representing the dharf. The second example they gave us, sirna miyata kilometrin. We have gone 100 kilometers. We have traveled for 100 kilometers. Here, kilometrin is the original dharf al-makan, the adverb that indicates place, yani the distance of yani kilometers. But the number that is representing that time or place word, yani is now substituting for it. Yani kilometers is mudafun ilayhi majrur, and mia now represents the time or place word. So we say it is representing the dharf, therefore it became mansub, the sign that is mansub is fatah. So in these two sentences, arba'ata ayyam and mi'ata kilometer, arba'ata is mansub because it represents a word denoting time. That is the word ayyam, arba'ata ayyamin. And mi'ata is mansub because it represents a word denoting place, kilometrin. Alright, so this is the fourth situation or case in which other words that are not originally adverbs of place or time represent, take the place of, substitute for the adverb of place or the adverb of time, and therefore take on its ruling of being mansub, and the sign of it being mansub in these cases that we've seen here has been fatah. Okay, so to summarize what we took here in point E, which is the fifth of 6 points related to al-maf'ul fi, is that there are some types of words, four types of words that function as the dharf. The first of them, A, are words like kullu, ba'd, nisf, and rub. Yani, those are words that when they have time or place words as their mudaf ilayhi, they take the place of the dharf and they take the ruling of the dharf being mansub. The second type of word are adverbs. The adverb of the dharf, if the dharf is removed, the adjective of the dharf. The adjective, if the dharf itself is removed, its adjective that was describing it remains in its place and represents the dharf and therefore takes on its ruling of being mansub with fatah. The third type of word is the demonstrative pronoun, hadha or hadhihi or dhalika or tilka, which has as its bedel a word that denotes time or place. So now, because its bedel is a word denoting time or place, the ism ishara represents, substitutes for that adverb of time or place and takes on its ruling of being in the position where it should be mansub. Demonstrative pronouns are all mabniun. So we don't say it's mansub, we say it's mabniun fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub. And the fourth type are numbers representing time or place words. 4 days, 100 kilometers, 30 days, 3 miles, and so on. Those numbers represent the adverb of place or time and therefore take on its ruling. Okay, let's go to the last point related to maf'ul fi. In the same way as these types of words that we just mentioned, yani words that represent the part or the whole of a adverb of time or place, or adjectives for the adverb, or demonstrative pronouns that have an adverb as their bedel, or numbers that represent time and place, just like that rule that we just mentioned for those four types of words, this one single word, the word kam, which means how many. If kam, how many, functions, if it represents a time or place word, like how many hours, or how many days, or how many miles, or how many yards. If how many is asking about a time or place word, then it functions as the dharf and represents that time or place word. And in the same way as what we mentioned, the four types of words previously, in the same way, just like them, come, which means how many, it also functions as a dharf. Yani it substitutes for the dharf. If it is representing, if it is asking about a time or place word. For example, kam labithta, how long did you stay? Yani the meaning here is how, yani kam, it means how many days did you stay? How many hours did you stay? How many weeks did you stay? So the thing that you're asking about, how long did you stay? Meaning how many days, how many weeks, how many months, how many years, how many hours? So come here is asking about an adverb, days, hours, weeks, or months, an adverb of time. So since, yani, the word come here is representing a time word, in this case, is representing a time word, therefore, it functions as a dharf. Therefore, it functions as a dharf. So we would say it is, yani, maf'ulun fi, in this case, dharf, yani, الزمان, if you said كم لبثت, how long did you stay? We're talking about time. So we'll say ظرف, يعني الزمان. نعم. The second example they gave us is ظرف, is an example of كم representing a word that represents distance. So they said كم مشيت, كم مشيت, يعني how far did you walk? Meaning how many kilometers, how many miles, how many yards or how many feet, how many blocks? Yani, how many is asking about a distance. Alright, so that's a adverb of place. How many did you walk? Meaning how many miles, how many yards, how many feet, and so on, or whatever. Yani, so since it's representing a word that is a time, or in this case, a place word, an adverb of makan, so it now functions as a dharf. It now functions as a dharf. Naam. Okay. Now we're going to a new point. The second point of this lesson, which is a very, very important affair, it is that which is known as harf imtina' limtina'. Harf imtina'in limtina'in. The particle lau is used to express an unfulfilled condition in the past. Unfulfilled condition in the past. So these are three things that we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at that it's a conditional word, or a condition, it's used in a conditional sentence, and that condition is a condition in the past tense, something that was past already, and third, that it's unfulfilled, something didn't happen. Alright, so the particle lao is used to express an unfulfilled, something that didn't happen, condition. Yani condition means if you did this, then this. If you didn't do that, then that. Right, a condition. And it's also something in the past. It's not a condition for the future. It's a condition of the past. And it's unfulfilled. Three things. Unfulfilled, a condition, and past tense. For example, لو اجتهدت لنجحت. Had you worked hard, you would have passed. Okay, so lao here is being used to express an unfulfilled condition in the past. If you had worked hard in the past, you would have passed. So, had you worked hard, if you had worked hard, that's the condition. It's past tense, and it's not fulfilled, because you didn't work hard, so you didn't pass. It didn't happen. Since you didn't fulfill the condition, then yani, this thing didn't happen. That had you fulfilled the condition, had you worked hard, then you would have passed. This means, Yani, had you worked hard, if you had worked hard, you would have passed. This means that you did not work hard, and so you did not pass. So the condition of working hard is unfulfilled, and therefore the response of passing is also unfulfilled. But it's all in the past tense. You didn't work hard in the past, and so you didn't pass your class or your test in the past. Its Arabic name for law, when it's used like this, is harfu, yani a particle of imtina'in, which signifies something didn't happen. Li imtina'in, because something wasn't done. Yani harf imtina', al-imtina' means that this particle signifies that one thing failed to happen because of another, because another failed to happen. Yani the condition of working hard failed to happen. It didn't occur. Therefore, the response to that condition of passing also didn't happen. One thing failed to happen because of another. You failed to pass because you didn't work hard. As you can see, the sentence is made up of two parts, this type of sentence. The second part is called the jawab, the thing that you wanted to happen. And the first part is called the condition, the thing that must be fulfilled in order for that to happen. Okay? As you can see, the sentence is made up of two parts. The second part is called the jawab. The first part is called the shart, the condition. In the above example, la najahta is the jawab. Yani, law ijtahadta, if you had worked hard, that's the condition. La najahta, then you would have passed. That's the jawab. If you had worked hard, that's the condition, the shart. La najahta, you would have passed. That is the jawab. So there's shart, condition, and then there's jawab, the response that would have happened if you had fulfilled the condition. In the above example, la najahta is the jawab. The jawab, okay, so here is a rule concerning the jawab. The jawab takes a lam. Yani, you see the lam in law ijtahadta, la. That lam, la najahta, the verb is najahta. The la here is the lam. The jawab takes a lam. This lam is mostly omitted if the jawab is negative. Yani, if the second part of the sentence is negative, yani, something would not have happened, then usually this lam is left out, mostly. The jawab takes lam. Usually it takes lam. Yani, if the jawab is positive, is affirmative, the lam is there. If you had worked hard, you would have passed. That's, yani, affirmative. So the lam is there. But this lam is omitted most of the time if the jawab is negative. For example, had I known that you are sick, I would not have been late. I would not have been late. That's negative. That's a negative jawab. In the negative jawab, usually that lam that we saw in the previous example, that lam is not there. It's omitted. If the jawab is negative. If the jawab is affirmative, then the jawab is usually there most of the time. Okay, so what we're saying here, the jawab takes a lam most of the time if the jawab is affirmative. This lam is mostly omitted if the jawab is negative. The example they gave us of the jawab being negative, لو عرفت أنك مريض, that's the condition. If I had known that you were sick, ما تأخرت, I would not have been late. So ما تأخرت is the jawab. Here it's negative because he's saying what? I would not have been late. So since the jawab is negative, the lam is omitted most of the time. If it's affirmative, the lam is present most of the time. So that's the general rule. If the second part of the conditional statement, the jawab, the thing that you want to happen, if it is in the affirmative, the jawab is in the affirmative, then this extra lam is placed there. If it's in the negative, the extra lam is usually not there. There are exceptions to this, but that's the general rule. Okay, here are some more examples of lao. And we'll see in these examples, some examples where the jawab is going to be affirmative with that lam present. And we'll see some examples where the jawab is going to be negative and that lamb will be absent. Okay, I see. I did just look up harf al-imtina. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I don't understand what is meant by negative. Okay, good. I'm glad I was looking at my screen this time. Harf imtina. Okay, so harf imtina means a particle that is used for a conditional statement where the condition is not fulfilled, and therefore what you expected to happen, if you had fulfilled that condition, what you expected to happen also doesn't occur. Okay? Okay, we'll give examples. Can you give examples of affirmative? Naam. Examples of affirmative and negative are going to be in front of us right now. Alhamdulillah. Again, harf imtina, imtina means it's a particle that is a conditional statement, unfulfilled condition. There are two parts of this statement. The first part is the condition. If you had done it, then something would happen. The second part that would happen is the jawab. So there's the shart, the condition, and then there's the response, the jawab. In this kind of statement, harf imtina'in limtina'in, the condition has not been fulfilled, and therefore the response also doesn't happen. Okay? That's the general thing that we're talking about here. Now, what is the meaning of the response being negative or affirmative? The response being affirmative is that if you had done this, this would have happened. That's affirmative. This would have happened. The negative response means if you had done this, this would not have happened. If you had done this, this would have happened is affirmative. If you had done this, this would not have happened. That's negative. The jawab being affirmative is if you fulfill the condition, something would have happened. And the jawab being negative means if you fulfill the condition, something would not have happened. Something would not have happened. Okay, let's look at these examples that they gave us here, and we'll see examples of affirmative where something is supposed to happen if you had fulfilled the condition, and we'll see examples of the negative where something is not supposed to happen if you had fulfilled the condition. So in both cases, you have to fulfill the condition. Because you didn't fulfill the condition, something didn't happen that you expected to happen. And in the other case, if you had fulfilled the condition, something would not have happened. Something would not have happened. But because you didn't fulfill the condition, it did happen. Let's look at the examples. The first one is affirmative. The first example they give us is in the affirmative. We're at the bottom half of page, point number 2, where it says, here are some more examples. Okay, in these examples, we're going to see examples of the affirmative, where the jawab is affirmative, and we're going to see examples of the negative, where the jawab is negative. Here's an affirmative example. لو سمعت قصته لبكيت. Had you heard his story, you would have cried. This jawab, لبكيت, you would have cried, is affirmative. Yani something would have happened. You would have cried. If you had heard his story, you would have cried. Yani the condition is, لو سمعت, if you had heard his story, the jawab is, you would have cried. Because it's affirmative, you would have done something. You would have cried, so therefore the lamb is present. The next one is negative. Negative jawab. لو حضرت أمسي ما شكوتك إلى المدير. If you had been present yesterday, I would not have complained about you to the headmaster, to the principal. Okay, the condition, لو حضرت, had you been present, if you would have attended classes yesterday, ما شكوتك, this is your jawab, negative jawab, meaning the jawab is something would not have happened. If you had been present, I would not have made a complaint to the principal against you. That's what we mean by negative jawab, yani that what would have happened if you had fulfilled the condition, I would have not complained to the principal against you. In the first one, if you had heard his story, you would have cried. The second one, if you had been present yesterday, I would not have complained against you to the mudir. So the affirmative means you would have cried, and the negative means you would have not have, they, that person would not have complained against you. Okay, let's look at another example of affirmative and another example of negative. Another example of affirmative is هذا الطعام فاسد. This food is rotten. لو أكله الناس لمرضوا. Had the people eaten it, they would have fallen sick. Okay, this food is rotten. لو أكله الناس, that's the condition. If the people had eaten it, then what would have happened? لمرضوا, they would have all become sick. Here, this is affirmative. If they had eaten, they would have become sick. Yani negative would mean, if they had eaten, they would not have become sick. That's negative jawab. But here, if they had eaten, they would have become sick. That's affirmative jawab. Okay? The next example is also affirmative. And so the lamb is also present here. And the last example will be negative. The next example is affirmative. لو رأيت ذاك المنظر لبكيت. Had you seen that sight, you would have cried. لو رأيت, if you had seen, that's the condition. And the response is لبكيت, you would have cried. Okay, if you had seen that sight, you would have cried. It's affirmative because you would have done something. Negative would mean, had you seen that sight, you would not have cried. That would be negative. The answer would be, you would have not have cried. You would not have cried. Yani if you had fulfilled this condition, yani of seeing that sight, you would not have cried. That's negation. Affirmation means, if you had seen this sight, you would have cried. So you would do something is affirmative, and you would not have done something is negative. Okay, the whole sentence seems to be negative. Because why? Because harf imtina limtina is that the condition has not been fulfilled, and therefore the response doesn't occur. That's right. So so this particular particle is imtina limtina. It means that something did not happen. Yani you didn't fulfill the condition, and therefore the response did not occur. So the general meaning of harf imtina limtina is that you didn't do something, and therefore something did not happen. But now here, when we're talking about affirmative and negative jawab, we're just talking about the response. Is the response, yani if you didn't fulfill this condition, then something happened or did not happen? If you didn't fulfill the condition, yani you would have cried. That means something happened. You would not have cried means it. Yani, that's negative. That's what we mean by negative. You would not have cried. Yani, if you had been present yesterday, I would not have complained against you. As opposed to affirmative, if you had been present yesterday, I would have complained against you. You would have acted up and I would have complained against you. If you had been present, I would have complained against you. That's affirmative. If you had been present, I would not have complained against you. That's negative jawab. Okay, the last example is an example of negative. A negative jawab. لو عرفت أن رحلة اليوم ما تأخرت. لو عرفت, if I had known that the trip was today, ما تأخرت, I would not have been late. That's a negative jawab. Meaning, يعني an affirmative jawab would be, if I had known that the trip was today, I would have come late because I didn't want to go. If I had known the trip was today, I would have come late. That's affirmative. But if I had known the trip was today, I would not have come late. That's a negative jawab. I hope it's clear. I hope it's clear. Allahu musta'an. You look at the time. Okay, still have a little time. All right, so that's the second point. Harf imtina al-imtina. It contains three matters. Yani that something, the jawab, yani doesn't occur. It didn't happen. It's unfulfilled because the condition was not fulfilled. When the condition was not fulfilled, so the jawab also didn't occur. That jawab could be affirmative or negative. And if you fulfilled the condition, you would have cried. That's affirmative. If you had fulfilled this condition, you would not have cried. That's negative. If you had known that the trip was today, you would have come. That's affirmative. If you had known that the trip was today, you would not have come. Then that's negative jawab. So we're dealing with a condition. We're dealing with two parts of a statement, the shart and the jawab. The shart is the condition, if you had done this, and the jawab is, then this would have happened. But since you didn't do it, then the jawab didn't also happen. The last point of this lesson, is point number 3 on the bottom of page 50. In min qablu, the word qablu is mabniyun. In this expression, min qablu, the word qablu here is mabniyun. Qablu and ba'du become mabniyun when the mudaf ilayhi after them is omitted. Yani omitted in love then, it's not expressed, but the meaning is still intended. Okay, qablu and ba'du are both dharf al-zaman. So they are originally mansub with fatha. But when the mudaf ilayhi, the word that comes after them, because the dharf, yani, should have a noun, if it has a noun that comes after, that noun that comes after it is going to be mudaf ilayhi majroor. Okay, but if that noun that comes after it is not expressed, it's not spoken, but it's still intended, the meaning is understood there, but it's not expressed, then qabla and ba'da become mabniyun ala dhamma. Otherwise, they are mansub with fatha. You say qabla and ba'da, but when the mudaf ilayhi has not been expressed, even though its meaning is still intended, if it has not been expressed, then qabla and ba'da become mabniyun ala dhamma, they become qablu and ba'du. And that's why, yani, if the mudaf ilayhi was expressed, we would say min qabli wa min ba'di, because yani it's mansub with fatha, but after the preposition, because it's mu'rab, it changes from dhamma to kasra. But in this case, if the mudaf ilayhi is not mentioned, it's not expressed in words, though it's intended, it's understood to what it is there, but it's not expressed, in that case it becomes mabniyun ala dhamma, and even though it's following a preposition min, it doesn't change to kasra. Otherwise, qabla and ba'da changes to kasra after the preposition min. But when the mudaf ilayhi is not mentioned, just intended but not mentioned, then it becomes mabniyun ala dhamma and min doesn't change it to kasra. Let's read what it says. Number 3, bottom of page 50, in min qablu. Even though it's following min, it doesn't change to kasra. The word qablu, why it doesn't change to kasra? Because it's mabniyun. So these two words, qablu and ba'du, become mabniyun when the mudaf ilayhi, it's mudaf ilayhi after them, is omitted, it's not expressed, even though it's still intended. So we say, for example, ana al-ana mudarrisun. And we gotta go to the next page to finish this sentence. Ana al-ana mudarrisun. I am right now a teacher. Wa kuntu mudiran min qabli dhalika. I am now a teacher. And I was, kuntu mudiran, I was a headmaster min qabli dhalika. Yani before that, min qabli dhalika. Yani before I was a teacher, I was a headmaster. I am al-an, ana al-an mudarrisun, wa kuntu mudiran min qabli dhalika. And I was a mudir min qabli dhalika, before that. We see qabli changing to kasra because of min. And that's because the mudaf ilayhi dhalika is mentioned. If the mudaf ilayhi is not mentioned, then qabl becomes mabniyun. Even though it's following min, it's not going to change to kasra, it's going to remain as dhamma. Okay, so this is the first example. I am now a teacher and was before that a headmaster. Here we see that qabli is changing to kasra because of min. It's changing from fatha, its original ruling as being mansub, as a dharf, as zaman. It's mansub, but because of min, it changes to kasra. That is, as long as its mudaf ilayhi is mentioned. Here, ذَلِكَ is the mudaf ilayhi, and it's mentioned. Before that means before being a teacher. يعني مِن قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ, before that means I am a teacher now, and I was a مُدِير مِن قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ, before that meaning before I was a teacher. Now when the mudaf ilayhi is mentioned, قَبْلِ is مُعْرَب, and it takes the جَر or كَسْرَ ending after the preposition مِن. But when the mudaf ilayhi is omitted, yani it's not expressed even though it's intended, it becomes mabniyun. And we say, wa kuntu, yani ana al-ana mudarrisan, I am now a teacher, wa kuntu mudiran min qablu, and I was a principal min qablu, yani earlier, before, yani from before. I was a principal from before. Here, in the same way, here, yani the point here in this sentence, wa kuntu mudiran min qablu, here we see that qablu is not changing to kasra, And that's because, even though it's following the preposition min, it's not changing to kasra because when it's mudaf ilayhi, ذَلِكَ, or whatever the mudaf ilayhi is, when it's not mentioned, even though it's understood, when it's not mentioned, then قَبَلُ and ba'du become مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الدَّمَّ. So normally it takes fatha. If it's following min, it takes kasra, as long as it's mudaf ilayhi is mentioned. If it's mudaf ilayhi is not mentioned, then it becomes مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الدَّمَّ. Does the sharh include the harf imtina along with the verb? Does the shart include the harf imtina along with the verb? Naam. Yani the shart is the condition, yani, and of course it's going to be with a verb, a past tense verb. It's going to be with a past tense verb. Yani in other words, لو عرفت. Yani the condition is, if I had known. If I had known. For example, that you were sick, I wouldn't have been late. Yani if you had attended. Yani the verb is there because the verb is what is the condition that you have to, it's a condition that you have to have known, or you have to have attended, or you have to have eaten. If you had done that, then the jawab comes. Then the jawab comes. So yes, the shart includes the harf amtina along with the verb. Naam. Because the condition is what? If you had done this, then such and such and so and so. Naam. The particle and the verb together are the shart. And then what happens as a response to that is the jawab. Okay, back to the last point again. We said that when the mudaf ilayhi is omitted, it becomes mabniyun. And we say, وَكُنْتُ مُدِيرًا مِنْ قَبَلُ, which can be translated as, I was a headmaster earlier. Yani meaning, earlier meaning before I was a teacher. Meaning before. So what's the summary of this before I read the last paragraph of this point? The summary is that قَبْلُ and بَعْد yani are ظَرْف الزَّمَان. They are مُعْرَب. They are originally mansub with fatha, but if they follow a preposition, they become majrur with kasra. Unless the mudaf ilayhi is not mentioned. If the mudaf ilayhi is not mentioned, in that case, qablu and ba'du become mabniun on dhamma. Okay, so more examples. In the same way we say, kana bilalun ma'i ila sa'ati al-ashirati. Bilal was with me until 10 o'clock. وَلَمْ أَرَاهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, and I didn't see him after that. So here, بَعْدِ, because it's following the preposition مِنْ, it becomes يعني مَجْرُور with كَسْرَة. And the reason why it becomes مَجْرُور with كَسْرَة يعني is because its مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ is mentioned. مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Okay, so it normally would change from fatha to kasra because of min, as long as its mudaf ilayhi is mentioned. If its mudaf ilayhi is not mentioned, just intended and understood but not mentioned, then in that case, that's the case in which ba'd and qabl become mabniun ala dhamma. Here, the mudaf ilayhi is mentioned, therefore, yani it doesn't become mabniun ala dhamma. Bilal was with me until 10 o'clock, but I didn't see him after that. I didn't see him. لَمْ أَرَاهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Because the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ is mentioned. If we omit the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ, we say, وَلَمْ أَرَاهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ. But I didn't see him after, yani later. In this case, ذَلِكَ, the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ is not mentioned. Therefore, بَعْد becomes مَبْنِيٌ ala dhamma, even though it's following the preposition min. In the Quran, 30th surah, 4th ayat, we have another example. Lillahi al-amru min qablu wa min ba'du. The decision before and after these events is Allah's. Lillahi al-amru, yani the decision, it belongs to Allah. Min qablu, from before these things, wa min ba'du, and after these things. Here we see that the mudaf for qablu and ba'du are not mentioned, even though they are understood. Yani they are understood, meaning the affair belongs to Allah before these events, and the affair belongs to Allah after these events, but we don't have the word events here mentioned, but it is understood that it means certain things took place. When you read the tafsir of these ayats, it means that the affair belongs to Allah min qablu, yani from before the defeat of the Romans by the Persians. وَمِنْ بَعْدُ means after the defeat of the Persians by the Romans. So مِنْ قَبْلُ يعني before the Romans were defeated, and مِنْ بَعْدُ means after the Persians were defeated. In every case, when the Romans were defeated before, and when the Persians were defeated after, the affair, all of it belongs to Allah. Allah is the one who decides every affair. Okay, so this is the end of what we wanted to take, yani from the English key. We did want to read the Arabic text and look at the Arabic explanation of this lesson. Maybe we might not look at the Arabic explanation, but at least we're going to read the dialogue at the beginning of this lesson. No problem. We're not really in a rush. What is important is that we understand this material. As I mentioned, there are only three matters in this lesson in the English key. However, they are quite involved, and we want to make sure that they are understood. Okay, so we're going to look at the dialogue on page 96 and 97 and try to analyze some of the points that came from this lesson. From the first point, that is the maf'ulun fi dharf al-zaman and makan, and that some of these words are mabniyun on fatha kasra or dhamma, and also that there are certain words that can take the place of the dharf, yani for various reasons, either because yani they are it's sifa or ism ishara or a number or a word that represents part or the whole of the any dharf as a man or makan. We're going to look at all of those things as we read through this dialogue. And then perhaps next week, inshallah, and for homework, we'll go back and read the Arabic explanation and do some of the exercises. And then maybe in the following week, we'll complete this lesson. Allahu musta'an. Yani we hope to read the Arabic explanation of this lesson today, but maybe we'll yani delay it until next week. Let's read the dialogue on page 96, top of the page, at Darsu al-Thani Ashar, yani the 10th lesson. The Mudarris says, Urahibu bikum fil yawmi al-awwal min al-aami al-jadeed. Mata wasaltum min biladikum? Urahibu bikum. Yani I welcome you all fil yawm al-awwal, on the first day, من العام الجديد, of the new year, يعني the beginning of the new year of school. متى وصلتم من بلادكم? When did you all arrive from your countries? Here the word متى is ظرف الزمان, and it's مبني على السكون. It's ظرف الزمان, it's one of those adverbs that's مبني على السكون. ألف مقصورة here, like ألف ممدودة, doesn't take a vowel ever, so it's مبني على سكون. Ahmed says, وصلنا قبل أسبوع. يعني we arrived before a week, يعني 1 week ago. Here the word قبل is ظرف الزمان, and it's يعني منصوب with فتح, and أسبوع is the مضاف إليه مجرور. الحسين says, أما أنا فوصلت أمسي. يعني they may have arrived a week ago, as for me, I arrived yesterday. MC is ظرف الزمان, adverb of time, مبني على كسرة. Ali says, أنا وصلت يوم الثلاثاء. يعني, as for these people who arrived a week ago, Hussein arrived yesterday. As for me, Ali says, أنا وصلت يوم الثلاثاء. I arrived on يوم الثلاثاء, يعني Tuesday. ذهبت إلى مكة لأداء العمرة. وبقيت هناك ثلاثة أيام ورجعت البارحة. يعني I arrived on Tuesday. وذهبت إلى مكة, and I went to مكة لأداعي العمرة, to perform the Umrah. وبقيت هناك ثلاثة أيام, and I remained there for 3 days. ورجعت البارحة, and I returned last night. Here we want to mention that يوم is ظرف الزمان منصوب بالفتحة, and also هناك, بقيت هناك is ظرف المكان مبني على فتح, and ثلاثة أيام is يعني منصوب with فتح, because it is a number representing a noun of place or time, in this case representing the noun of time أيام. ثلاثة أيام, it's نائب or substituting for أيام, so it's منصوب with فتح. رجعت البارحة, البارحة is a ظرف الزمان منصوب with فتح. The teacher says, أهلاً وسهلاً, welcome to you all, you are like family, and your stay here is easy. Jamal says, يا أستاذ, أتسمح لي
أن أجلس أمامك إن هذا المقعد خال فإن صاحبه طوي قيده العام الماضي.
Jamal says, O teacher, will you give permission? Will you allow for me? أتسمح لي? Will you allow for me an أجلس to sit, منصوب with فتح, أمامك, in front of you, and أمام is الظرف, المكان, منصوب with فتح. Indeed, هذا المقعد خال. This chair or this seat is empty. فإن صاحبه, because the person whose chair it is, طوي قيده, his file has been closed up, has been, يعني, sealed, rolled up, يعني meaning that he is not here anymore, he's not attending anymore in the last year. يعني his قيد, his folder has been closed last year. العام, يعني is ظرف الزمان. The teacher says, اجلس حيث شئت, sit wherever you like. يعني حيث is ظرف المكان مبني على الضمة. الزبير says, لا أريد أن أجلس تحت المروحة فإن ذلك يضرني أفأجلس خلف جمال. يعني الزبير says, I do not want to sit, أن أجلس منصوب الفكة, تحت المروحة, underneath the fan. يعني تحت ظرف المكان منصوب الفكة, فإن ذلك يضرني. I don't want to sit under the fan because that will harm me. أفأجلس خلف جمال. Shall I sit behind جمال? Here خلف is ظرف المكان. The teacher says, لا مانع لدي. يعني there is no objection with me. يعني I don't object to it. Sit wherever you like. جمال says, أين سافرت في عطلة الصيف هذه السنة يا أستاذ. يعني where did you travel to in this summer vacation this year, O teacher. يعني أين is ظرف المكان مبني على فتح. It's from those ظروف that are مبني. Where did you travel in the summer vacation? هذه السنة يا أستاذ, this year, O teacher. هذه is يعني اسم إشارة مبني في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب, in the place where it should be منصوب, because it is what? An ism ishara that has as its badal as-sana. Yani as-sana is a dharf as-zaman, but it here in this case it is the badal for hadihi, so hadihi is taking, is substituting for it. So we say hadihi in this particular case is mabniyun fi mahalli nasb, yani naib, taking the place or substituting for the dharf as-zaman. The teacher says, ila indonesia, يعني that I have traveled to Indonesia. Jamal says, أَلَمْ تَمُرَّ بِكُلَى كُوَالَمْبُرْ. Did you not pass by كُوَالَمْبُرْ? Again, we want to note here that أَلَمْ is a negative question, a question in the negative. Did you not pass by كُوَالَمْبُرْ? The teacher on the top of 97 says, بَلَى, indeed I did. ولكني لم أمكث فيها طويلا. Yes, indeed I did. Did you not? He said بلا. He didn't say نعم, because نعم would mean yes, I did not. But he said بلا, meaning indeed I did pass by there. لكنني, but I didn't, لم أمكث, stay فيها, in it, in that city, طويلا. Here طويلا is يعني representing the ظرف. Yani it's taking the place of the ظرف الزمان that has been omitted. I didn't, the original sentence would be لم أمكث فيها وقتا طويلا. And we said that the not or the صفة, when it is taking the place of the ظرف that has been omitted, then it takes on its ruling. So we say that it is منصوب with فتح. Jamal says, كم لبثت ثم يا أستاذ. How long did you stay there, O teacher? Yani here we said that come is like the words that represent the ظرف for various reasons. In this particular case, the rule is that come, when it is representing a adverb of time or place, yani when it's asking how many of something that is a time or place word, then it represents
the ظرف and it's treated as a ظرف. So we say كم لبثت, meaning how many days or how many weeks or how many hours did you stay there. So كم يعني is يعني taking the place of the ظرف of, in this case, زمان, because it's talking about how long did you stay there. ثم is ظرف المكان. ظرف المكان meaning there. How long did you stay there? Oh, teacher. The teacher says لبثت ثم or ثمتا. يعني ثمتا and ثم mean there. لبثت ثمتا يوما أو بعض يوما. I remained there. ثمتا is ظرف المكان. يوما a day or بعض يوما or part of or some part of a day. يوما is ظرف الزمان منصوب بالفتة and بعض is يعني منصوب بالفتة because it is substituting for, taking the place of the ظرف الزمان يوم, which is his مضاف إليه. يعني these words like بعد and كل and نصف and رب, when their مضاف إليه is a ظرف الزمان or مكان, then they substitute for that ظرف. So we say بعد is نائب, substituting for ظرف الزمان, and therefore it's منصوب بالفتة. Jamal says لو عرفت. Now here's حرف لو الامتناء. الامتناء لو عرفت أنك تأتي إلى بلدي لاستقبلتك في المطار. After a pause he says أسافرت إلى سنغافورة أيضا. يعني لو عرفت أنك تأتي, if I had known that you were going to come إلى بلدي, to my country, لاستقبلتك, I would have received you, I would have given you a reception in the airport. Did you also travel to Singapore? Also, يعني أسافرت إلى سنغافورة أيضا. Did you also travel to Singapore? The teacher says لا. Here we want to note لو يعني if I had known, that's the condition. If I had known, لو عرفت, that you were coming to my land, this is the جواب, لاستقبلتك. Then, if I had known, then what would have happened? I would have received you in the airport. Here, the جواب is in the affirmative, I would have received you. Not, I would have not received you, but I would have received you, and therefore it's preceded or accompanied prefix with the لام, that is usually preceding the جواب that is affirmative. He said, did you travel to Singapore also? The teacher says, لا. Jamal says, ألم تسافر إليها من قبل? Did you not travel to it before? Again, this is a negative question, so the answer is going to be نعم or بلا. Did you not travel to it, يعني to Singapore, من قبل, before? The teacher says, نعم, meaning, did you not travel? نعم, I did not travel. نعم here means, in the negative question, means, يعني it didn't happen. ألم تسافر إليها من قبل. نعم لم أسافر إليها قط. Yes, I did not travel to it قط. يعني ever. يعني لم أسافر is the meaning of I didn't travel in the past, and this is emphasized. يعني the negative verb is emphasized by what? By قط. يعني I didn't travel to it, meaning I did not ever travel to it. I never traveled to يعني Singapore. Also, we want to note here, in the question next to the last line, أَلَمْ تُسَافِرْ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ, يعني the meaning here is, didn't you travel to it before that? يعني before this time? مِنْ قَبْلُ, مِنْ قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ. But since the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ is omitted, in that case, قَبْلُ يعني becomes مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الضَّمَّ, and it doesn't change to كَسْرُ because of مِنْ. But if you had mentioned ذَلِكَ, the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ, ألم تسافر إليها من قبل ذلك, before that time, then يعني قبل would have been changed from them, it would have been changed to a كسرة because of the preposition من. But since the مضاف إليه is omitted, therefore it's مبني على الضمة. And the last sentence, لم نعم لم أسافر إليها قط, again قط is مبني على الضمة, it's ظرف الزمان, emphasizing the negation of the past tense verb, but in terms of the time, past tense, مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الضَّمَّ. Okay, this is what we were able to cover for today, or I guess we still have a few minutes, yani two or three minutes. So yeah, we have 5 minutes. So let's at least do the comprehension questions for this lesson. أَجِبْ عَنَ الْأَسِئِلَةِ الْآتِيَةِ, in reference to what we just got finished reading. متى وصل الحسين؟ When did Hussein arrive? وصل حسين أمس yesterday. Number two, كم يوما بقي علي في مكة؟ How many days did Ali remain in Mecca? بقي علي في مكة ثلاثة أيام. In 3 days he remained in Mecca. Number three, لما لا يريد الزبير الزبير أن يجلس تحت المروحة؟ Why does Zubair not want to sit under the fan? لا يريد الزبير أن يجلس تحت المروحة لأن ذلك يضره, because that will harm him. Number four, أين سافر المدير في عطلة الصيف؟ Where did the principal or the headmaster travel in the summer vacation? سافر المدير في عطلة الصيف إلى إندونيسيا. I think in some of the books it has to Philippine. In any case, the meaning doesn't change here. Number five, كم لبث في كوالالمبور؟ How long did he remain in كوالالمبور؟ يعني لبث في كوالالمبور يوما أو بعد يوم, for a day or a part of the day. So we also had for homework, يعني the reading of the Arabic explanation of the matter related to مفعول في, and we didn't get to that, and even though we have a couple of minutes left, we can't do it in that little bit of time. It's too important. So next week, inshallah, you have another chance to read it, and we'll go over it in the beginning of the session. And the reading of the Arabic explanation of maf'ul and fi on page 98 and 99, and then the questions that are related to it. There are actually 8 questions on page 100 to 101, and then following that is the explanation of lao, the conditional statement lao, and then there are some questions with it, and then finally min qablu and min ba'd, and then some general questions on the end. I don't know if we'll be able to finish the rest of this lesson next week, but in any case, we're going to start with reading carefully the explanation of maf'ul and fi on page 98 and 99, and then as many of the questions as possible that follow it. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us the tawfiq, the success to be able to do whatever we do of good for His sake alone, with sincere intentions and in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah, out of His mercy and His bounty and His favor and His generosity, that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He keep us firm upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen.